beyond the boundaries of Tinseltown. It's the Friday Mixer. This holiday weekend isn't just a celebration of the American labor movement. Sunday also happens to be the city of Los Angeles's 235th birthday. It was founded on September 4th, 1781. So when you're firing up the grill this weekend, perhaps cracking open a cold one, consider what this city has meant, not just to you, but to the world. Well, sure, it's the undisputed entertainment capital of the world. It reigns supreme when it comes to TV and movies, but LA's contributions extend way beyond that, from fashion to science, aerospace technology, sports, medicine and research. DJ Waldy is an LA historian, author of several books, including Holy Land, a suburban memoir, and Where We Are Now, Notes from Los Angeles. Hi, DJ.
Hi.
KCRW Saul Gonzalez has been covering Los Angeles for a while now, especially here at KCRW. Grew up in Southern California as well, and he joins us here in the studio. Hi, Saul.
Hey, Steve.
All right. Saul, I want to start with you. When I think of L.A., I think of a time of modern era, but L.A. dates way back to even before California was a state.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And remember, before there was an L.A., I mean, obviously the Native Americans were here, the Tongvins, the Gabrielinos, the Chumash. But L.A. was also a place where empires contested with one another. I mean, this was the edge of the Spanish Empire, Alta California. And it was looked like it could have been the edge of the Russian Empire. I mean, Russia was moving into Alaska, was coming down the Pacific coast. Spain, Imperial Spain, got worried about that. And one big reason Los Angeles exists is because Spain founded this city, founded this place, partially as a reaction to the possible ambitions of Imperial Russia.
With a mission, literally.
With three things. There are three kind of legs to the Spanish Empire tripod here in California. There's the missions, kind of spiritual conquest and colonization. Right. There's the presidios, military. Those are military forts. That's kind of the military colonization of California. And then places like Los Angeles, the pueblos, which were founded to put people in a place that Spain called its empire. Spain was here, but the people weren't here. So it recruited 44 people called pobladores. Half of them were children to come to what was going to become Los Angeles from Mexico and settle here. And they became the original, other than the Native Americans, kind of the original Angelenos. It's kind of our Mayflower story.
The Mayflower story here on the West Coast. How is, and you mentioned, Saul, and DJ, just hang on a second. I want to talk about the Mexican heritage that is celebrated here on a civic level today. Have we, you think, lost some of that?
I think we're rediscovering some of it. I mean, this was, in a sense, a Latino community, a Spanish-Mexican community first, and then city. And then it became something else with the Yankification of Los Angeles as it became part of the United States after the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, and particularly after the coming of the railroads to Los Angeles, which really made it easier to get here, and particularly people from the Midwest to get here. And L.A. becomes kind of a Protestant American place, kind of a Western suburb of the Midwest here in California.
Yeah.
And now because of immigration, because of, you know, the Immigration Reform Act of 1965, which opened up the doors to much more immigration from abroad, it is re-Latinoizing itself, but also becoming this world global crossroads that we all know today that has, you know, the biggest population of Thais outside of Thailand, yeah, or Filipinos or Armenians outside of Armenia. And so I think that's L.A. in 2016.
It's
a global crossroads, partly Latino, but partly American, partly of Latin America, but also of the world.
All right, also of the world. I want to turn now to DJ Waldy. He's the L.A. historian and author, and ask you, DJ, about our city's Latino influence in its early days. Do you think we've lost that part of our history in our, I don't know, in our contemporary narrative?
Well, the Latino component of the L.A. story was pushed to the edges beginning at the end of the 19th century and well into the 20th century. But ever since the end of the 20th century in the 1990s and onward, this hybrid community, this Anglo-Latino community has, in many ways, rediscovered its mestizo character. We've become a really blended community, and that blending is accelerating.
I gave some positive things at the outset, DJ, that L.A. has given the world over the years. But there are some other things that perhaps carry mixed feelings. A car culture, for one. We have a lot of traffic. This city is choked in traffic, and it's perhaps one of the first sprawled-out cities of the United States. What has the rest of the world, and for that matter the rest of this country, learned from Los Angeles, do you think?
Well, the messages have been mixed in some areas. You're right about car culture and the expansion of the freeway systems, and the suburbanization of America has one of its centers here in Southern California. But Los Angeles, going back to the turn of the 20th century, did other good things. It introduced a new kind of domesticity to Americans, even the way homes are laid out, particularly in the relationship of outdoor space to indoor space. Literally, life in California, the kind of houses we lived in then and live in today, brought the outdoors into living rooms. And that kind of led to a loosening of American stiffness at the beginning of the 20th century. In the 1920s, L.A. helped sell the idea of casual living, took Americans out of corsets and high-button shoes and put them into the kind of things that we wear today. However, some people did say that that casualness corrupted American seriousness by introducing all sorts of wacky religions and New Age spiritual movements and other forms of unconventional belief.
If we got rid of the corsets from the early whatever 20th century, DJ, I mean, where did that relaxed nature come from? How did that establish in Southern California?
Well, the critics of Southern California said we got too much sun and that baked our weak intellects. But in point of fact, climate was a meaningful component of how we became who we are today.
I wonder, though, you know, is it the fact that L.A. is Tinseltown, has, or for many decades, had the grip on media, right? That is sort of how we emitted this character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had control of the media means of production, to put it in Marxian terms. I mean, the cameras were here, the antennas were here, you know, in a sense. And we were able to portray ourselves to the rest of the country and the world in a way that and no other cities could.
Because yeah, they didn't Peoria have, couldn't do that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't have the equipment there. And so wherever you travel, I mean, LA's PR campaign has been great because wherever you travel, I mean, LA, yes, there's bad associated with it, particularly since, you know, a lot of that, I think, is a hangover from the early 1990s. But LA is still, you know, the symbol of what? Personal expression and freedom and the place where you can reinvent itself. The reality for all of us who live there on the ground may not be that, but that's the message that the rest of the world has taken in.
DJ, I mean, this is a place, and I know technology is changing. We've got the entertainment business in this town and has been for a long time. Will we see that change, the entertainment industry, the forefront of what LA is? Will we see it change going forward?
Oh, absolutely. It's already changing, and in many ways, what's thrown up on our movie screens reflects a globalized media environment. Movies are made today to open big in Beijing and Guangzhou as much as they are made to open big in LA or New York City. The globalization of entertainment will change what we see on those screens and may present new images to Angelenos in the same way that Hollywood presented new images of life to Americans in the 20th century.
So you think Angelenos will change then and absorb what other people are putting out?
We've been absorbing what other people have put out for 150 years. Hybridization in L.A. is who we are and what we are. L.A. Brought to America a way of looking at the exotic and tropical in the 20th century, and that vision, despite very real racial and ethnic segregation in this town, presented an image of a mixed community. And that was very different for America.
Well, I want to touch on that before we wrap up, because it's not all golden, right, in no. Los Angeles. I mean, there is a history of segregation. There's a history of wanton poverty and people who just can't get by, a city that's getting more expensive to live in. Is that the future of Los Angeles, do you think?
It's true of every urban center in the United States. they're getting more expensive to live in, and they are becoming more segregated by class and income than they were in even the recent past. I worry about an L.A. becoming a boutique city like New York or San Francisco. But I have a feeling our character is a bit more malleable and robust and quirky than that. So maybe we'll escape becoming another boutique.
Well, New York certainly and San Francisco both are cities that are geographically smaller, right? That everybody
right.
sort of lives closer to one another. L.A. is sprawled out far enough. It does that work to our advantage, Saul, do you think?
That's actually what I was just thinking right before you said that was, you know, our advantages here is that we have elbow room here. In L.A., you know, we are so many different worlds, Steve. That's the thing that strikes me all the time when I'm out. I mean, I was just in South L.A. right now and coming over here and passing through different neighborhoods, Koreatown and you know, Little Armenia and all. And it is just, you know, a multitude of worlds in one geographic area or within one set of city boundaries that is really unlike a lot of other cities around the world. But I should also say that I think as we age, we're 230 years old, right?
235.
235. As we age, particularly in the last several years, I think we're becoming much more like older established cities. I think we're getting a much more of an urban identity. I don't know if that's because of our growing rail system or, you know, just as we live closer and closer together in some neighborhoods. But LA to me, and I've been here for about, you know, 25 years, it feels like a place that's more like other cities than it is a bunch of, you know, that famous saying, it's a bunch of suburbs that are living together, you know?
Yeah. Like a Lego block.
Yeah, like a Lego block. And certainly a lot of places are still like that. DJ's talking to us from Lakewood, and Lakewood is still, you know, proudly suburban. It's in its DNA. But I think when you move more toward the urban core of Los Angeles and neighborhoods like Highland Park and Eagle Rock and all, there's just a different feeling in the air that I think is more urban now than suburban.
Are we attached, do you think, DJ? Are the people of the West Side more adherent to how people are living in Eagle Rock or how they're living in South L.A. or how they're living east of L.A., El Monte?
I'm not sure about that. I have a problem with insularity in the makeup of Los Angeles. It's tougher now in some ways to cross the divides that separate ethnic and racial and class.
Why is it tougher now? Why is it tougher?
You know, it's easier for people to cocoon in their space of comfort. Harder for people to get outside those boundaries.
DJ Waldy, L.A. historian, author of many, many books on Los Angeles. We thank you for your time. DJ Saul Gonzalez, our reporter here at KCRW, has covered L.A. for a long, long time. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, and feliz cumpleaños, Los Angeles.